Welcome back to the Jones.com podcast. It's me, Jones.com. I'm here, you're here, we're here with another guest, skateboarder, newly known as a philanthropist, rapper, artist. He does it all. My boy Dave, Daily Ashe.
Bless, bro. Appreciate you. Appreciate you bringing me on the show, man.
Talk to the people, man. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed more than anything. I got like, so I just do a contest. You already know. So before the contest, let me just go back a little bit. I've been skating as long as you know me, but even a little bit before then. So I started skating as a youngin', pretty much grew up with, homies around the neighborhood, getting into whatever we was getting into. Nothing productive, pretty much, and then kind of stumbled upon skateboarding as, you know, time started changing and things started being more acceptable and things like that. So we just kind of started taking skating like a little bit more serious. Time went on, and then we just turned Riverdale, pretty much Clayco, into like a place where we could like bring skaters and, you know, kind of build and create a skate culture. You know what I mean? So I just been building off that, and use that momentum pretty much to, start something for all of my friends and start something for, you know, just all the kids around the neighborhood to pretty much be a part of. And that's just what I started. So,
So how did it feel when you first saw that Riverdale had a skate park? Because, you know, when we was growing up, skating wasn't even mainstream in our area. It's still not necessarily mainstream. And skateboarding was only that thing people would play in video games like Tony Hawk or skate. But now, as we're growing up, Atlanta has gotten multiple different skate parks, and we even got one in Riverdale. So how did that feel as a skateboarder?
I mean, it feels amazing. It feels amazing. Because I feel like me and my friends, we pretty much had everything to do with that, especially in Clayton County. Like, nobody really cared about skateboarding before. Like, it was just, you know, that's just something kids do, like, or that's just something they do. It wasn't really like a culture, you know. People kind of see it as a culture now. It's like, you know, it's I love it, bro. I love it. And then, you know, Riverdale, they pretty much allow us to have full creative control. You saw all the graffiti and all the, you know, art that was at the skate park. So right. We actually had another event. My bro, ATL Promise, he got with the people, you know, in the city, and he pretty much asked me if we can come through and paint and have a, you know, an event. They say yeah. So, you know, they pretty much are on board with anything, you know, skateboarding, anything that's for kids, or, you know, anything that's promoting positivity.
Hey, I really think that's dope, because a lot of cities and a lot of places don't have that. What I was explaining to people, all right, first off, let's tell the people what you did. All right, you threw a giveaway / skateboard contest for Riverdale, and you invited everybody out. The event was free for people to pull up. You had a DJ, you had a food truck. And it was just really basically putting on for the community. I donated some shoes. It was other people donating shoes. You had skateboarding shops donating decks and t-shirts and different things.
We had the skate shop. We had the city. We had the people. You know, I'm part of a group called Pretty SB. And so Pretty SB even donated. We had a few bros from a group called Sesame. And they donated as well. And just a bunch of people around the city, man, they just kind of pulled up. Even if they wasn't a part of the event, they still kind of, they donated and just showed love, took pictures. And so that was the love we needed, man. Like, that was the momentum. Like, everything was pretty much executed, like above what I thought was, you know, the expectation. So I was proud of that.
What I was trying to explain to people, that the reason I went so hard for you on social media, for people who follow me, they know this, is because to me, it's not necessarily about you and your event. but it's about the next event and the event after that. So if you succeed or somebody sees you succeed, they believe they can do the same thing. And they can grow as well. Because, you know, when we grew up, it wasn't a lot of people in our area putting on events for us, by us, you know?
Yeah.
So to see somebody that I grew up with and I worked with and I've known over so many years.
Let's talk about that really. Let's talk about that really quick, bro. You, like, are the, you're the most hidden day one bro that I have. Like, man, like, we don't talk enough, but I always, like, think about the fact that you have the show, that you have, like, all these great things running. So, bro, shout out to you. Like, for real. You, like, the day one. We don't connect enough, but, yeah, we've known each other for a minute, man.
It's really weird because every time we run into each other, it's always random.
It's always random, yeah. Hell yeah.
And it's always love every time I see you, bro.
Every single time, bro. That's crazy. But, yeah, man, like, we pretty much, like, seen the transition. We've seen the changes, like, over time, you know what I'm saying? Like, we went to school with, like, a bunch of people that just aren't around, like, anymore for reasons mm-hmm. we can't even speak on. But it's just seeing stuff like that and understanding, like, where I came from. And even my homies still to this day, you know, where they at, understanding and seeing that, just, like, that puts me in a position to kind of, like, merge two worlds. So that's where I'm at with it. Like, my whole, like, goal is to pretty much, like, merge, like, the understanding of, like, love, self-respect, community, and being self-sufficient. And I'm just trying to, like, promote that and merge that with, like, the community, like, our community, because I feel like we don't have nothing to kind of, like, bring nobody together. We don't have nothing to, like, teach people or, like, you know, there's just no space. There's no creative outlet, you know, especially with COVID. I feel like COVID, that made everything so like, so much worse. Like, everything right now is so much worse. But the goal now, especially, is to get everybody up out of that, you know, bring that togetherness back in play, you know. So
how did COVID affect you in your sport and your people and your, like, friends and family? How did that work? Because skateboarding is an outside thing where
at first it was kind of crazy because, you know, obviously they had, like, restrictions with the curfew, they had, like, a bunch of different things going on, like, while COVID was happening. So it was kind of crazy at first, but, like, as time went on, like, It kind of got better. Like, it's weird to say, but it got better to skate. Like, I don't know. Like, it got better to skate, but, it, you know, the world is weird, so you still got to deal with that. But, it, you know, as far as you just being outside and being able to, like, you know, take time to yourself and really, like, because COVID, you know, affected a lot of jobs and just school right. or whatever you was doing, it affected whatever it was. So, you know, you're to yourself, you pretty much have, like, the space to really grow and understand yourself. And if you want to be just outside, you know, find, like, a creative outlet. But skating kind of got better. Like, it's a lot of it's a lot of people out here making it happen.
Yo, so for me, I'm a hooper, right? I like the hoop. And so
yeah, so when they took the hoops off the rim.
Yes, they took.
They took the rims off the hoop.
I didn't even know that was possible. We pulling up the parks, yeah. And it's no rims on backboards.
Yeah, like yeah.
What? are they this serious? And yeah. Then it was some places they boarded up the rim, like they put wood planks on the rim.
On so the rim, yeah.
Shoot on it.
I seen one where they had like a gate, like not a gate, but like. A cutout of a gate on top of the actual rim, like where you would shoot at. Like they put something, they welded it on there. Like it was bad.
It's crazy. And then so I ended up, my vice ended up being me and a few homies, we go to LA Fitness and we have to go at 6 a.m. because we don't want to be around too many people at the same time that we don't know.
Yeah.
Cause it's still COVID, but it's real, real frustrating. Cause it's just like four or five of us, probably like eight max, yeah. And I'm used to traveling around the city, hooping at different places, seeing different types of people ball, and just understanding basketball, learning basketball through different lenses in different parts of the city. Just like how skateboarding is, where if you go to different parts, everybody skates a different type of way. Everybody has a different type of style.
Exactly.
You got street skaters, you got vert skaters, all that. And then everybody has a different recording style. Everybody's trying to make it in their own different type of way when it comes to skateboard. And so it's just I see the similarities when it comes to the difficulty. But y'all have more freedom. Skateboarding has always
been a lot more freedom. It's a lot more creative control. My fault. I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's a lot more creative control when it comes to skating. I've always seen it as an art. Like, you kind of just learn at your own pace. You learn while you're having fun, which is the best part. Like, I think that was what attracted me, like, to skateboarding the most. Like, just seeing the fact that, like, I could have a full-ass skate day and, like, won't even realize how much I'm learning just because it was so fun. Like, it was just cool to just have this experience, you know what I mean? So that was what kind of drove me back to, like, wanting to learn. And yeah, so I feel that, man.
Yeah. That's something I'm jealous of, because I never learned how to skateboard. I had the little cheap little Walmart skateboard that a lot of people start off with. You don't even sell those.
I had a Kryptonic. I had a Tony Hawk too, and both of them shits broke.
Yeah, and I was afraid of failure. Basically, I was afraid of hurting myself, falling. And I tell people that one thing I want to get my children into is basketball or skateboarding, because those who in basketball, even the best shooters ever miss more than they make. They just miss more than they make. So you have to learn and accept that you're going to lose a lot and you're going to miss a lot of shots. And same with skateboarding. You're going to have to fall and fail a lot to finally pull any trick off. It's about patience and practice.
Exactly. Persistence, confidence. Man, it's about all of that. It's about all of that. You're right.
So tell me about SB. Like, how did you hook up with Dale?
Yeah, so, all right. So we pretty much were young, like, just going crazy and skateboarding, you know. So we was, you know, just starting to bubble, I guess you could say, in the skateboard community. Like, everybody started to kind of make a little name for themselves. And
I see.
We just started to connect from different places. We was like, oh, you know, I don't skate here much, or like, we don't skate that much. Like, we don't film that much, but whenever we see each other, it's love. So, like, you know, what's up? Like, and we always known of each other, and like, we actually, you know, seen each other a few times when we were both just really young. So, who I'm speaking of is my bro Sharif. So Pretty SB was created by Sharif. He's a Pretty Reef on Instagram. So when he came to me with the idea, you know, it was already, like I said, we already showed mad love. It was like, all right, cool. Like, boy, what I got to do? He was like, nothing, just link up. We're going to film. We're going to get it popping. So, you know, long story short, we got the t-shirts. We got the footage. We started dropping video parts. People started loving it. Everybody, you know, they're like, yo, we want to see the shows. We want to see the merch. Everything. So we just kind of grew on that, and here we are today, just traveling. And we threw a contest in New York like 2 years ago. We, you know, go back and forth to different states pretty much just throwing contests, giving product, filming. So that's what Pretty SB is about, and that's kind of how we got linked up. It was just it was natural. It was so natural. It was like, yo, you already know what time it is. And I'm like, you already know what time it is. Like, let's do it.
Yo, when I posted the video, a lot of your peoples was coming to my page, liking the video, whatever. And I saw the Pretty Reef page, and I went to it. And I'm like, yo, this man's followed by Virgil and the Barracks.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, they really on.
Yeah. Shout out to Reef, bro, because he be sending it, man. Like, hell yeah. He an amazing skateboarder. Amazing skateboarder. So when he got the group together, pretty much, it was so crazy too. It was like, it was pretty much all the people that was snapping, like everybody that was kind of snapping in their own way, you know, at the time with skateboarding. It was, he just kind of like got everybody. It was like the Avengers or some shit. Like, I don't know. Like, it was hard. Everybody in our group kind of like just goes hard. Like, honestly, those are my favorite skaters. My friends are pretty much my favorite skaters. Like, I'd rather watch their video parts, just like with music. Yeah. I'd rather listen to my friends most of the time than I actually listen to like new albums or, you know, whatever the case. But yeah, I appreciate my bros.
Which is how it should be. And I admire that y'all are a group of friends who created something together just naturally. That's been one of my goals for a long time, because, you know, I have a lot of creative friends. I'm around a lot of creative people. Yeah. And I always just thought that we should start something like a production company where we start putting out content as a unit under a label, and to help grow that label. So once people find out about one person and say, oh, they're under this label, who else is under this label? Exactly. And why can't we all just grow like that? And people.
So that's what I was about to explain with the music thing. So basically, the music kind of like sparked off in a direction. So it's this group called Swiss Army Radio. And that was created by my friend ATL Promise, the one I introduced you to at the contest.
Right.
So when he made that, I had just, I came out with two songs or whatever, like maybe two or three years ago. And when I met him, we started chopping it up on a music level. He told me about the label he was making. And so it's just like that. It's like, you know, Swiss Army Radio is kind of exactly what it sounds like. Everybody just kind of, there's so many different artists, and, you know, everybody's just kind of eating off like that same platform, you know what I mean?
Right.
In their own direction. So everybody, you know, it's all together, but it's all, you know, in separate lanes. Like, everybody kind of does their own thing. So that's what he does.
One of the few examples I can give, you have, well, not one, it's a lot of examples of that in music, and I feel as if we should do that with a lot of other things when it comes to the creation. So you have Odd Future as one, you got Wu-Tang Clan, you have Roc Nation when they originally started, you got Dipset. It was really just a bunch of friends who made music and was like, yo, we should do this together. We should be a group, you know? Yeah. And so once one of us pop off, we'll all pop off. So it only took Tyler to pop off. It only took Raekwon and Ghostface Killah to pop off. You know, it only took Jay-Z to pop off for the crew to blow up.
For them, the fucking
and so, crew. Yeah. And it's hard to get a lot of people to understand that. The Warriors used to say a few years ago, strength in numbers. Literally, you have strength
in numbers, bro. It's strength in numbers every time.
That's why it's like,
you know, I'm always trying to connect. That's always the goal, is to connect, is to, you know, grow a foundation with a group of people that we can all just like kind of eat off of. Like, everybody just kind of eats off the same thing. Everybody just kind of feeds off the same energy, you know what I'm saying? And we just grow. Like, why not? You know what I mean? Like, I'm always, you know, I'm always talking about something. I'm always coming up with some type of idea. Like,
right.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, making the right connections, doing the right thing, like, is like something's bound to shake. Like,
yeah.
That's just where I'm at with it.
So with the pretty merch, how did y'all come up with that? Cause all right, so for me, when I see a lot of people's merch, like right now I'm wearing one of my homie hoodies, right? Under 18. And so me and him was having this long talk about merch, and when people start their own clothing lines, blah 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 blah, and they always use Gildan tees, and I hate when I see Gildan tees because it's.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
It'd be because Gildan tees cost about $3 a pop, but people will try to slap their logo on them and sell it for $50.
Yeah.
And And I know it didn't cost nowhere near that.
Exactly.
And you can sell that same shirt for 25 and still make a huge profit. Same with the hoodies. So I just hope you guys are not using any guilt.
I'm gonna get you something. It's all authentic, bro. I promise you. Because we wear it, so we don't want it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we want it to feel good. Like, we want it, you know, we gotta. But I get you something. It's all real. It's all.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Y'all use
y'all got
grip tape and wheels and whatnot too.
You said what?
Y'all got grip tape and wheels and whatnot?
Nah, so like, not right now, but pretty soon. I'm pretty sure, like, somebody's gonna come out with something. I just know, as of right now, we're working on a video part.
And yeah,
we're working on, you know, merch. It's, you know, merch and just, I guess, promotion. Just making sure everybody stay tapped in and everybody stay, you know, powerful in what they're doing. So that's what we're on right now. So Will's grip board's coming soon though. Like I'm pretty sure Will's grip and board's coming soon.
A lot of people aren't into the skateboard world, right? So they don't understand what was big to skateboarders. They really don't. So I remember I don't remember who it was, but you posted somebody and they were in Thrasher and it was one of your homies. I was like, whoa, what the fuck? Cause people don't know how big Thrasher magazine is. They just see Thrasher hoodies. I'm like, oh, this is cool, I guess. They don't really know what
they
Thrasher
really don't understand. That's why I like skaters. It's kind of terrible, but as skaters, sometimes we like troll the fact that like a lot of people don't know what skateboarding is. And, like, we'll ask them, like, oh, like that Thrasher hoodie, like, where you get that from? They'll just say something wild, but sometimes they know what they're talking about. They'll be like, oh, right. Skate, bro, like, da da da. You know, so it's just always cool. Even the simple fact that people are wearing skateboarding, like appreciating skateboarding is the coolest thing to me. I don't see nothing like wrong with it, like, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of proud that people appreciate skateboarding now because it was hard. Like, even when I came to skateboarding around, like, 2010, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, even around that time, it wasn't even accepted fully. Like, it still took almost right now for it to be, you know, accepted. So, I can only imagine what people had to go through, like, before I even got to where I'm at, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
there's so many black skaters, and I just can only imagine what they had to go through. But yeah, so skateboarding has definitely evolved. I can appreciate it at this point.
Before all we had was as a representation of a black skater was Terry Kennedy.
Terry Kennedy was that dude though, bro. He straight up got on the video part and was like, look, this is what you get when you fuck with Baker. He was like, don't get mad at me. Get mad at them nigga negotiating your deals, bro. When he said that, I feel like that was the icon. Like, those words was iconic for all black skaters from that point on. Like, we were saying that. We was probably going to say that shit forever. Like, that was powerful. He was that, you know what I'm saying? He had his own TV on BET. You know,
yeah, he had the reality show.
He was doing his thing. Yeah, he was doing his thing, man. And I don't know if people probably didn't know about skateboarding as much to know about other black skaters, but even before Terry Kennedy, there was like a bunch of powerful, powerful black skaters. Like,
Sure.
Ray Barkley Darrell Stanton, like so many black skaters. There's Antoine Dixon, but he was like, you know, after, but heck yeah, man. I don't got no problem with skateboarding right now. I love the fact that like all my like brothers, like all my black skaters is up, like so up, like
that was my favorite
fashion mag, or you know what I mean? Like the most popping skaters right now are probably like black, half of them are black. So I'm very appreciative.
That was my favorite part about when I pulled up to the event. And, you know, I didn't even get to stay long. And it was still a lot of people there at 12 o'clock. And so I'm just looking around, and it's straight black people, straight black kids. That was the most impressive thing. I saw a woman out there skating as well, and I'm just happy. Then you got your nephew skating too. It's just something you can admire and appreciate to see that many black people skateboarding, because it never existed. Or just people skateboarding in general, because as when we were kids, all people knew about skateboarding was literally Tony Hawk. And then
that's all I knew about skateboarding when I started skateboarding. I didn't know any tricks. I didn't know anything. Only thing I knew was Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I'm about to go outside and skate. Like, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? And then I started to discover later on, like, you know, that there's, you know, skaters post videos. They got video parts. And I started to learn, like, what video parts even was, because I was just outside for, like, the first month, 2 months. I was just outside, like, just doing it. Because I ain't gonna lie, I got in trouble, man. I some stuff I can't even speak on, but I got in trouble pretty much. And that sent me into, like, I couldn't leave the crib. You know what I'm saying? Couldn't leave the crib. I was just young. My mom, she was just, like, you know, pretty much tired of me. Like, she was like, yo, don't leave this house. You know, that's it. So my man, she lived next door. He was like, bro, I got a board. Like, you know, you just be in the crib. You might as well try to learn some tricks or whatever the case. So he gave it a board. I tried to learn, like, a few tricks. Then he came back with another board, like, you know, a few days later. And I was pretty much like, bet we could go skate now. So we pretty much learned tricks off the strength. Like, we wasn't even looking up nothing. We was just learning tricks, doing what we had to do, like, having fun, racing, like, just doing all kind of wild stuff. Then I met somebody, my bro Josh. He, you know Josh.
Yeah.
So I met Josh in middle school. I was actually about to smack him. So I was like, bro, So I was like, bro, like, you think you nice, like, blah, 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 just being irritating. And he was like, he said something smart. And I was like, I'll smack you. And he was like, well, if you can do all of this, you probably can skateboard. And I was like, bro, I skate better than you. So long story short, I pulled up to his crib. And he was like, I was like, I told you I had a board, because at the time I thought I was nice. Me and my bro was outside skating. So I thought I was good. I pulled up to Josh's crib and he came outside like an actual skater, like attire. Like, he had on skate clothes, you know what I'm saying? Like, skate brands. Like, I'm like, okay, like, and then immediately he do like a kickflip, a ollie, like down the driveway. I'm like, oh hell no, like, bro is good at skateboarding. So I just pretty much told him, like, all right, like, I ain't that good. Like, he was like, I knew your ass. He straight up told me this verbatim. He was like, I knew your ass wasn't that good. I should have smacked your ass. And he was like, but I'm gonna teach you something. I was like, all right, bet. So man, long story short, he showed me like my first couple tricks. And then I would, like, my bro, like I said, he was my neighbor. He couldn't leave the neighborhood. And so I would learn tricks. I would come to the, I'd go back home. I show my bro, and then, you know, I go to Josh's crib, and then eventually we just all started just going to Hazard. We started going to, you know, different skate spots. You know what I'm saying? We started skating stairs, rails, and then we just, as time went on, we just got good. Next thing you know, like, we was in magazines, like, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
that was cool. Like, it kind of just happened. So yeah.
That story is so relatable to so many people, because as a kid, all we knew was our neighborhood. We literally knew was our neighborhood, our street. So when one kid did something, like, oh, he nice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We had the best kid on the block. Yeah. And then y'all would travel. Once you got a little older, you was able to go to different neighborhoods and different people and learn different things.
Areas, exactly.
And you realize everything that you was doing in your neighborhood really wasn't nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, like,
nothing. Your world, no matter what it was, if you thought you could rap, then you meet some other kid and he's spitting way better bars than you.
Exactly.
Thought you could dance, and then you go to the next neighborhood and somebody really knows how to do the moonwalk. You thought you was moonwalking, but you nigga really Michael Jackson. Yo, that really used to be life back then, and everything used to spread word of mouth. That's so dope how You said Josh would teach you, and you had to teach your friend. That's how everything used to spread back then, because everybody didn't
have. That's how it was back then. I actually posted my first couple of skate pictures on MySpace. So that's how long, that's how long we've been on it, bro. It's crazy. So hell yeah. Everything used to spread different back then. Twitter been around forever, but. Even around that time, it was still a lot more communication going on. It was still a lot more, word of mouth activity going on and, people getting out, you know what I mean? So, I miss that. I like the fact that, I can get out and make things happen or, I like putting up flyers or, getting random people engaged about something that I got going on. So, yeah, the footwork is necessary. I feel like everything doesn't have to happen on social media.
Now, how do you feel about social media? Does you think it's hindering human connection or it's helping human connection?
I think it's a little bit of both. And I say that because, I feel like we need, the way evolution works is that we need social media. We need technology to work the way that it's working. You know what I mean? But it's about how you use it, So I feel like it can hinder you. It can really, really, drive people insane. You know what I mean? But it's all about who you are as an individual. So I honestly, for me personally, I do feel it helps me. It definitely helps me and what I have to do and what I want to do. Because I know where people's attention, lies. So I
agree, because for me it's a lot of people that you see popping on social media, but you meet them in person, they're a real weirdo. Same with YouTube whatnot. They feel, I don't know if they feel as if they're celebrities or what, but they don't have any real and true social skills. They don't understand that the way people act on social media is not the way people act in real life. In real life, people exist.
People exist. People are conscious of one another, and people are conscious of how you make other people feel. Like you said, just people get so caught up in social media that because that's them, they feel like they're off almost when they are not on social media. They're off the clock. So I don't have to be this. I don't have to be this person I portray. But then, who are you really? Because we meet you in a social setting where it's time for you to be present for an event or for, people that love you, and you can't because you're actually strange. for that attention, you know what I'm saying? So
So I had to put it down like this. So Mercedes-Benz Stadium at max capacity holds about 70,000 people when it comes to seating. Right. That's not including the staff that's working there. That's not including the players that's on the field. Mm-hmm. And so that could potentially be about 74,000 people, 75,000 people. Right. Now, the Hawks Arena, State Farm Arena, fits about 20,000-30,000 people. Right. Now, let's say they both have a game at the same time and both of those events are sold out. That's 100,000 people. Now, if somebody gets 100,000 retweets, they feel as if they're popping, right?
Yeah.
But if Mercedes-Benz is going on and that's packed and the Hawks game is packed as well, does that mean traffic is not going on in the rest of the city? No.
Yeah,
traffic is still popping in the rest of the city. There's clubs that's popping. There's restaurants that's popping at this exact same time, which means that 100,000 people is only a micro size of reality. I try to tell people New York got a few million people. So I forgot who said this joke, but it was an artist who dropped the album from New York. And it was like, yo, you can't even get people in your own city, like a million people from your city to buy a single. And that's what I want people to realize is that if you get 100,000 retweets, that's nowhere near most people on this planet. Not even close. So you're never as big as you think you are.
Exactly.
And
exactly. But people, the goal, the end goal is that I want to be so big. You know what I mean? I want to be so big to the point where, like, I'm satisfied. Like, I can look in the mirror and say, yeah, I made it. Like, yeah, I'm here. Like, that's what everybody's end goal is. You know what I mean? And that those people kind of make them feel that way. You know?
Yeah.
But then how big do you dream? You know what I mean? Like, that kind of dive into that, because I don't really, like, I would be hyped if 5 people like my shit. I would treat 5 people liking my shit like 1,000 people like my shit. Like, yeah. that's how I be looking at it, like, for the most part. But I know for a fact, people's minds just simply work different. Like you said, 100,000 retweets for somebody will have somebody walking, like, moving. Wow. Yeah. Like, can nobody fuck with me? Or can I curse on here?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It'll have people like, yeah, can't nobody fuck with me. Like, I'm up. Like, you see how many people fuck with what I said?
But it's not even, it's a microscope. And
yeah,
it's at the same time, if you look at it, 100,000 people is not a lot. But if you look at it at a business perspective, if you're, let's say Pretty SB is selling t-shirts for $10 a pop. Mm-hmm. If you guys get 100,000 sales, that's $1 million.
Exactly.
That's $1 million. So it's not a lot, but it is a lot at the same time. So for me, I do care about numbers just because I want to grow the podcast. And I do enjoy when people tell me that they think it's dope. They listen to episodes and it's all good and gravy and whatnot. That do warms my heart. But at the same time, I'm doing this for me as a outlet mentally sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's about doing it for yourself, but doing it to help others as well. So I do want to be able to reach more people and share my knowledge or just share my stories and other people's stories with other people.
Yeah.
In the masses. And I think that's what really got me into podcasting and just me being very, very opinionated. I think I have an opinion on pretty much
everything. Very, very opinionated. Bro, we have gone back and forth. When we was both working at UPS, we was going back and forth almost every other day about something. It had to be something. He's like, you just sparked the wildest, like, opposed questions. Like, bro, relax. Like, he'd be like, bro, honestly, I don't think Lil Wayne that good. Like, what? Like, why would you? Why you feel like that? Ish? Like, why? So, I just feel like, yeah, you always had, like, just a wide, like, a, you know, a wide perspective on things, and you always just thought about things just a little bit different. So, I was proud to see the podcast. I was always hyped to, you know, come on it. I always talk, like, text you, be like, bro, put me on. Like, you just had to get the space, get the time. So, I'm glad we made that happen. And yeah, man, like, you just keep doing what you're doing, man. For real.
Yo, them UPS conversations were so wild, and that's the only thing I missed about UPS.
Yeah.
Because it's a bunch of grown men who are ignorant. Like, they were so.
It's like if UPS went to a halfway. I'm not even being funny. UPS went to a halfway house and just hired niggas, bro. Like, it's just like everybody's hired, like. Y'all don't just show up, bring boots. Huh? I'm on a podcast right now, but it's like a show, yeah. But you got it though, yeah. It's You want to shout yourself up?
Yeah, yo, go add me on Instagram, gang.
All right, and TNLJQ. He make music. We pretty much. Yeah, growing the music in house. So, but what was I about to say?
Yeah, UPS in the halfway house, folks.
UPS in the hat. Yeah, that's exactly what it is, man. I promise you, I kid you not. It's like that. And just watching people go at it. Somebody just got into a fight the other day. Somebody just got into a fight the other day at UPS. Literally, like fighting, like.
Yeah,
like, y'all still fighting at UPS? What are y'all doing? Like,
Yo, the wildest thing I can remember. It was a lot of wild stuff in there. Oh man, I got a few stories. All right, so I don't know if you remember this white guy named Caleb, right?
Yeah.
But we in the truck loading, and Caleb was a sorry ass motherfucker. He's sorry as hell. Could not do no work. He was just lazy. Damn. And so it's the end of the night, and we trying to go. You know how it be. You're like, yo, we got like all. There's no more packages coming, but we just gotta clean this truck up.
Yeah.
And so he like, we like, damn, Caleb, hurry up, bro. We trying to go. And he say, damn, can a nigga get a break?
Oh no, he didn't. Why would he think that's okay?
We didn't know how to react. It's me, Brandon, and Glee. We just in the truck,
damn,
confused. Like, he didn't call us one. He was referring to himself. And it threw us all off so much. And it really took us for a shocker.
UPS will do that to you. All I can say is, he, for that moment, like, he probably just needed a break, goddamn. I don't know. UPS will change a nigga. I promise you.
And for me, I don't be getting offended with racial slurs. I find them hilarious. So that one just threw me off because it wasn't directed towards me.
I feel like I find it offensive. I just take offense in general. Like if racial slurs, I just don't feel like it's necessary. We live in a space now. We live in a time now where you know better. Like even if you have your feelings, like you should know better to keep them to yourself and, you know,
yeah,
not say certain things. Like it's just,
that's what makes it funny to me that you know,
it's
when
the wild, yeah, I guess it's kind of wild. Like
when you, because they jump to that when they don't have any other like insults or anything. They don't have any character, anything about your character to make you to try to insult you, so to just say nigger, right? And that's when I just started to laugh, because at that point I know I won, and I feel like I would only
get they feel like that's the one, like that's the trump card for them, like this is what's gonna get them, like I feel
but for me, little do they know, the real trump card is colored. Now if somebody called me a colored boy, I was like, okay, now you taking it there.
I think color coon, like any reference to any monkey or any type of like animal, like anything other than me being a black American, like just doesn't sit well. Like I don't even like the homies don't even gotta watch how they joke. Like I got white homies or whatever, but damn, yeah, but they the bros are solid, but it's the other white people that come around, seeing, like, you know what I mean, thinking certain things are okay, and it's just like, all right, you know, watch your mouth. We all kicking it, but like, watch your mouth. Like, you know, I kind of, you know, but people pretty much catch the vibe. I feel like we are in the time, like I keep saying, we're in the time and space right now. We're like, everybody knows better, so you already know what you can and cannot say based on the environment. Now, if you choose to say something crazy and something happened to you, then that's unfortunate, but that you brought that on yourself. But I personally don't promote violence, but stuff like that happens all the time. Like
saying
something or doing something.
I like to explain to people. I say, yo, I ain't gonna beat your ass, but hey, I can't say the same for the next person.
I can't even say the same thing for my mans. Like I'm usually riding with somebody, with somebody that's probably not having it. Like I try to talk to you, but he not talking. Like
that's how I be. Another wild UPS story. I don't know if you remember Cheeks, right?
What he looked like?
He was light skinned. He used to always have like different hair color, just randomly on random days. And he was a rapper. He had tattoos.
Oh, nah.
All right, so, buddy, we in the truck, right? You know, we used to talk about any and everything in the truck because we had nothing but time. Exactly. Buddy goes, oh, hey, let me know if I'm tripping. I said, okay, here we go. He said, I said, I got two bitches I'm fucking with right now, right? Now, one of them, she bad or whatever, you know what I'm saying? I'm taking her out, but, you know, she ain't let me hit. But, you know, she bad, so it's worth it. And then he said, it's this ugly girl I ain't really doing much for, you know what I'm saying? But I'm still hitting, though, you know what I'm saying? So am I winning or am I losing? I said, bro, it sounds like you're taking two L's.
Yeah, at the same time.
Right. He said, no, I'm winning because, look, I got a baddie and I'm still getting some cheeks. I said, no, that's not how that worked. And he was like, look, all you got to do is smash two good looking girls and then the rest of them can be ugly. So when you say you got bitches, you really got bitches, and you can say you got bad bitches, and, you know, and you actually hit a few bad ones. So,
wow.
He said, I don't want to be capping in my raps. I got to live what I'm saying. Yo.
Wow. The fact that he approached you with that and was serious. I commend that dude. Wherever he at, I hope he not capping in his rap still. Shout out to that.
Yo, Buddy used to have like the wildest stories every day. It was him and Brandon. Every single day.
Brandon, them boys, wow.
They had a story. And I'm like, yo, how do y'all are in here majority of y'all day? How do y'all have the time? It was amusing.
It was damn sure wild.
Like you said, the halfway house folks, man.
Man, I swear, that's exactly how UPS hire. It was funny too. I'm like in the hiring room. I'm looking around, and I'm like, I don't even fit in at this table. Like, the man in front of me was just a random. He was a kid, but he looked like he was in his 40s. He was bald. I'm like, what's good, bro? Like. You know, where you from or whatever. He was just like, oh, yeah, I ain't even from around here. Like, I was like, oh, that's what's up. Like, how old are you? He was like, oh, shit, I'm 17. Nigga, like, looking like he, like, 40, bit. Looked like he got out of jail, bit. I'm like, all right, cool. So I look out, you know, I'm looking around the table. Like, it's just random looking people. Like, I clearly don't fit in here. Like, I'm about to leave. Like, and then. Miss Marie walk in, like, hey, you know, so excited. So I stuck it out. Then I realized y'all work here, and I was like, oh, all right, it's cool. Gosh, cool. Like, I know
you should have dipped, bro. You should have dipped.
I was looking around, like, all right, I'm about to plan my escape right now. I was like, all right, I'm out. Then I saw y'all, and I was like, all right, if they stay, I'm going to stay.
Yo, it was. I remember being in the truck one time. You know, the supervisor would come to make sure that, like, the truck not backed up and everything clean. So I'm in there with this new guy, and he was like, yo, is it me or Holmes? He keep looking in here and not saying nothing. I don't like that. I'm like, wait, what? I said, bro, what you on? Like, what you got going on? And so I left, and then I went in the truck with Brandon, and Brandon was like, oh, yeah, he said he fresh out. And I don't know if that means jail or prison. I don't know what fresh out means. But he just said he fresh out. I said, yo, that's all I need to hear. I ain't got to mess with Buddy. Yeah. Yo, hey, I'm going to let him ride. Cause
it's just like, bro, like, well, all right, like, what is happening at UPS? Like, everybody either just got out of jail or they not coming back because they got locked up. Like, that's how people got fired, and that's how people got hired at UPS. Like, I think me, you, and Josh was probably the only people that haven't been to actual prison. Like, even our supervisors was like, yeah, like, shit, I had to do what I had to do when I was young. Like, all right, facts. Like, we out here. Clayco.
What was depressing was to see people graduate college.
Yeah.
That worked there. And then they would become a supervisor. And
that was cool.
And that depressed me because I was like, yo, if I got me a degree, I'm getting out of this place. I'm not moving up. That's not one of my goals unless I'm driving trucks.
A lot of those people got sucked in though. It's like once UPS becomes your world, like, you know, I mean, that's what you learn to love. So a lot of those people kind of went to college and got sucked into either college or work. So, you know, they just kind of merged both, and that's how they learn to live. That's what they want to do. That's kind of what, like, UPS do to people. It's so strange. It's such a weird pyramid scheme. Like, they just sell you a dream. Like, I swear to God, and out the like out the gate they sell you a dream. Like you could just do this, you could make it, you can move around. But what they don't tell you is they really don't care how you do it, and they really aren't trying to help you do it once you get in the door. You just kind of, you know, do what you supposed, like they just do, you do what you're supposed to do, and that's it. Like they don't really care how you, they don't really care about anything else other than that. Like
it was one dude in there told me that he said the reason I like, he said the reason I like UPS and this job that a lot of other jobs don't have is that I don't have to talk to you. He said I can come in here, I can do my work, and I cannot be bothered. I, he's like, I don't have to talk to nobody. I'm not obligated to do any of that, and I just like to be to myself. And that's something I can respect, you know. So
yeah, I can respect that.
It's a, that's the case of a lot of weird characters, and it was a it's a huge learning experience in my life, and I'm glad I worked there because I learned a lot from a lot of different people.
Yeah, I learned a lot from Dupree, and you know, shout out to Dupree. He's actually doing real estate right now. So
that's what's up.
Yeah, he's doing his thing. Rod, I don't know if you remember Rod, but
yeah,
he got a, yeah, I follow him on Instagram. Like he the bro. So,
yeah,
I think he works in corporate somewhere, like for UPS. So
that's what's up.
Yeah, but yeah, man, like I like. You know, I appreciate the relationships I had and, you know, the people I met, you know, along the UPS experience. But, like, yeah, moral of the story.
Don't work there.
Don't work there. It's not for everybody. It's not for nobody. For real,
yeah.
For real, but, yeah, it's not for everybody.
All right. So, look, we're reaching the hour mark, right? So, we're going to play this game that I play with every single guest called 20 Questions. Listeners, feel free to guess along. The rules are you have 20 yes or no questions to figure out the album. And the only advice that I give people is to try to narrow down when the album came out. And that'll help you figure out the type of album it is. That is the only advice.
All right. Here we go.
And you cannot use Google. That's cheating. So,
what you mean?
What you mean? What I mean? You can't use Google.
You're not giving me nothing to work with. All right, bet. Let's do it. Let's. All right, bet. Let's do it.
Like I said, do you want to narrow down when the album came out?
Oh, you. Oh, all right. So right now. So we.
Started, yeah. So, right, so, so yeah, we started now.
Did it come out in 2006?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Is it Yo, that's a random year. Like most people say, did it come out between this time and this time?
Nah, hell no, I'm on it. Wait, is it Drake?
No, that's two questions. Drake wasn't even out in 06. That's a random.
Drake wasn't out in 06? You tripping. I'm tripping. You, hold on. Nah, I don't got time, but we're gonna get back to that. 06. Damn. Kid Cudi. Is it Kid Cudi?
Nah.
Kanye West.
No. Let me remind you, you're wasting questions without
asking who. Who it is.
Yeah, what you should do is you should find out where the artist is from, what type of album it is, and things like that. So you won't.
I'm just trying to get. Yeah, I'm trying to get straight to the because I feel like I could guess just based off knowing you. I feel like I could guess what.
The and that's album. What everybody tries to do.
Because I feel like I know you. Yeah, like you. All right, let me think outside the box real quick. All right, is the person from Atlanta?
The person is from Atlanta.
Okay. Do they make hip hop or do they make raw hip hop?
Define raw hip hop because that's a
J Electronica, like real like conscious music, I guess you would say.
Yeah, they can be considered in that category.
Okay. It's a he because you almost say he.
Yeah, I did almost say he. Yeah, but that's a, yeah, okay.
All right, let me see. Andre 3000?
What?
I got to guess the album, though, right? It is Andre 3000.
Yeah, you would have to guess the album, but yeah. All
right, all right, that. Stank on you? Wait, nah. Wait. Fuck. Hold on.
Bro, you can't be Googling.
Yeah, that's cap. That's cap. That's cap. All right, that's cap. I ain't gonna Google.
Yo, you got the year and you got the artist. So you basically there. You just got to think of the album that they released.
All right. An Outkast album, 2006. Damn, why am I'm drawing, like, I don't know why I'm drawing a wild blank. Fuck.
This suggestion came from Raquel, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I told her I was recording with you. I was with her yesterday. So, yeah.
She great. Shout out to Raquel. Damn, bro. I don't, fuck. I'm gonna just go with. Can I name a song off the album?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, bet. Shit, because that's not even on that album. Damn, I don't know why. Is it Out of Wild?
It is Out of Wild.
Ah, let's go. I'm gonna go. Because Out of Wild came out in 2006.
Yeah, that's the last album.
Yeah. I'm talking about the movie. Like, you see, yeah, the movie came out in 2006. No, 2000. Yeah, it did. It came out 2006.
Yeah, I think it was a soundtrack to the movie. But, yeah, that was their last ever album together. I think Big Boi put out one more album.
Mm-hmm.
After that, Andre has never put out a solo project, except if you want to count The Love Below. But, yeah.
The Love Below is fine. Nah, let's go. you tried to catch me, and I commend you for that. But we not.
I feel like I'm being too easy on people as of late.
Because you know my style, like you know the style. So I would have guessed it regardless. How many questions I had left? How many yes or no?
Like
I had left?
13.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, I would have definitely. You probably should narrow the how many yes and no's you get. Probably like 10 yes and no's.
Nah, it's 20 questions because I've seen somebody use all 20 and get it. I've seen people
last one?
Yeah, like people use all 20 and not get it. So I've been doing easier albums and they're just this is too big. I gotta go back to some more hidden gems. I was gonna give you an Odd Future or a Tyler album, and I was like, he would get that too.
I would get that. As soon as you would have said I would have just guessed the style, and now they had it like off top. Because it was for a while, like high school, like 9th, 10th grade, like I was really into like Earl, like Joey Badass, like all of that, like all of those artists, like those little groups that was coming out, even like Flatbush Zombies. I don't know if you heard of them, but
yeah,
I was into those groups like throughout 9th, 10th.
But like, if I was gonna pick an Odd Future album, it would have been probably Black and White. And I know you wouldn't have chose Mellow Hype.
Like, honestly.
And that's what I gotta start doing. Going back to, because the first album I chose, I keep repeating this every episode, it was The Adventures of Bobby Ray by B.O.B. And so Buddy was like, Is the artist from Atlanta? I said, yeah. He said, was this a popular album? I said, yeah. He said, and he narrowed down the year. He said, it came out in the early 2010s, mm-hmm. A popular artist is not Future. Like, he was so confused of who it was. And so when I said the album, he was like, yo, that shit was a popular album. It was two times, all that. So,
and it's crazy, but people would never guess, like, people would never guess that. Like, you know what you be doing. When you don't want nobody to guess it, you know exactly what questions to ask. Like,
yeah.
Ain't nobody about to guess that.
So yeah, I'm going back to that. Whoever the next guest is, he's getting a Nelly album. I feel sorry for them.
Hey, please, please do a Nelly album. And they might guess it though. Like Nelly, like, hey, shout out to Nelly real quick. I was listening to Nelly when I was young. My sisters was listening to that dude.
Yo, somebody gonna get a Nelly album. Somebody might get a Lil Jon album. Hey, it's all coming, bro. I promise you.
You might as well throw a Lil Zayn album in there. Stupid
But, hey, thanks, bro, for pulling up, coming through. Any last words to the people?
Yeah, man. Follow me on Instagram, neighborhood.daily with two eyes. And more things to come, more events on the way, a bunch of art, a bunch of merchandise, a bunch of goodness, a bunch of love, a bunch of music, man. Come on. we out here. This, hey, 2021, man, we up, we out here, bro. We black as we ever been. Shout out to you for bringing me on here. Mm-hmm. And, shout out to all my bros, Pretty SB. I'm drinking sea moss right now, and so that keep me healthy. That keep me moving. We got the black seed oil too. So yeah, and that's really it. What else?
Oh yeah, Happy New Year to everybody, yo.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Yeah, happy. This is a New Year's podcast, right?
Quick. Yeah, this is the last one of the year. It's all coming. Right, yeah. I'm dropping it. This is gonna drop a few hours from now, but yeah, this is the last one of the year. So yeah, Happy New Year to any and everybody. Hope you have a successful happy New Year.
New Year.
We got a lot coming for 2021. Please rate this podcast. You. 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. We're available on Apple, Google, and Spotify.
5 stars. 5 stars. 5 stars. Make sure y'all go ahead. Make sure y'all go ahead, man. Tap in with my boy.
Yo, so if you made it this far, thanks for rocking out with the Jones.com podcast. We are out of here.